This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Environmentally friendly gardening used to be fringe, but no more. There's been a surge in interest in gardening that's safe for the environment, especially since the pandemic began. That's according to Mark Richardson. He's the director of horticulture for the Tower Hill Botanic Garden in Boylston. He sees the enthusiasm in the sold-out crowds at the garden this month. Capacity is capped because of the pandemic. And he can tell by the blossoming membership in the Ecological Landscape Alliance in New Hampshire, which promotes eco-friendly gardening. He's on the board there. Richardson says there are meaningful things you can do for the environment right in your own backyard or front yard.
The most important thing you can do in your home landscape is reduce the size of your lawn. The typical American lawn is about the worst possible landscape we can have.
You say this, and there are so many people listening who will have done everything they can to, you know, have the greenest, most beautiful, sweeping lawn landscape.
I know.
You're killing them.
I know. You know, let's use Massachusetts, for example. A professional lawn care service is going to put out about 5 to 7 pounds per acre of pesticides on the average lawn. Now, these are pesticides like herbicides, fungicides, insecticides. They put out these little yellow flags saying that there's been a pesticide application, and that's meant to stop you from entering that area for a little while. No one pays any attention to them. And, you know, frankly, most people are allowing their dogs to roam their yards and roll around in the grass, their kids to roll around in the grass. There's an herbicide called 2,4-D. That's a very common herbicide. And it's a known carcinogen. It's an endocrine disruptor. It causes reproductive issues. It's really harmful stuff. You know, lawns are a really important recreation space, but we can't overlook the, you know, sort of growing environmental catastrophe that we're all walking on when we're walking on that pristine, you know, monoculture of turf grass. It's just not a safe and friendly environment.
So what is a better way?
A better way is to grow other types of plants, really just about anything. So when you reduce your lawn, you know, you should be cutting in perennial flower beds. You should be planting shrubs and planting trees. You know, if you are interested in supporting the environment and supporting wildlife, you know, one of the best things you can do is plant an oak tree.
Just one more thing on that. If you happen to be fortunate enough to have a large lawn, you can't just plant a lot of trees or a lot of bushes. And if your kids are going to play in the lawn, they're going to play on like myrtle?
Sure. Yeah. So there are other ground covers that work really well. There's a plant that I happen to be pretty fond of called wild strawberry. It's a native ground cover, develops really tasty fruit in early June, forms a nice dense mat of foliage. It's certainly not something that you can play soccer on, but it's a really good ground cover. And I think a lot of times, if we're honest with ourselves about how much of that recreation space we really need, we can have a combination of ground cover that's not lawn, that doesn't require watering and pesticides and fertilizers or mowing, and a little bit of that recreation space. You know, it's not about eliminating your lawn altogether. You know, I have kids and they love to play soccer. I definitely need some lawn space for my kids to play on, but I don't need as much as the typical American household has.
What's another really good thing we could do for the environment and to have a really good garden?
One of the most important things, and it's something that gets people really excited, is attracting and supporting pollinators in their gardens.
What are pollinators?
Primarily bees. In Massachusetts, we have more than 300 species of native bees. These are bumblebees, mason bees, and those are pollinators. So they carry pollen from one flower to another. And they do very important work of pollinating plants so that they can grow and develop fruit. And so supporting pollinators in our gardens is really important.
What kind of plants would those be?
Let's just use the monarch butterfly as an example. Monarch caterpillars, so juvenile monarch butterflies, feed only on milkweed. So if you're interested in supporting monarchs, which many people are, the best way to support monarchs is to grow some milkweed. And you can grow milkweed in a container. So even if you don't have a garden, if you have a little postage stamp, or if you've got a back patio, or if you live in an apartment building with a deck, you can grow plants in containers and support butterflies, support pollinators. And the key is if you figure out which pollinators you're interested in supporting, figure out which plants they really need to survive, and then grow those plants. It's as simple as that.
So for anybody who's going to a garden shop over the weekend and they want to make an eco-friendly decision about something to buy or not buy, what would you say?
I would say, one of the easiest eco-friendly decisions you can make is to buy a native plant. Once it's established in your garden, you shouldn't have to water it. You shouldn't have to dump copious amounts of fertilizer on it. It should be pretty resilient and able to withstand your environment, your climate, and really thrive. So no matter where you are, I think that's one of the easiest ecologically friendly decisions you can make is to buy a native plant.
What's your favorite?
Oh, it changes every day. I would say right now my favorite plant, because just coming into bloom, there's a little ephemeral species. It's not that little, but an ephemeral species called wood poppy. It has these bright yellow flowers, one of the earliest native species to bloom. It spreads itself around pretty easily. So if you buy one wood poppy and you let it go to seed, the seeds are actually carried around by ants. So you'll find it popping up in different places because of that. So that's probably right now, I would say today, that's maybe my favorite plant.
Mark Richardson, thank you.
My pleasure. This was fun.
Mark Richardson is horticulture director at the Tower Hill Botanic Garden. Our conversation is part of Covering Climate Now, a week-long global journalism collaboration of more than 400 news outlets. To find more of our coverage and to check out Tower Hill's website, go to WBUR.org.